Welcome to the QMEC podcast. I'm Ros Herbert.
And I'm Renee Paul.
So Renee, I can't believe that we are now a year on from when all this began.
I know, it's strange, the idea that, you know, the only person from the QMEC team I've actually seen in person is Russell, because yes. He ended up giving me my first COVID vaccination, and actually that was really sort of felt really emotional, because, you know, we hadn't seen each other for a year, but it made me think about how face-to-face, I've not seen any of the rest of the team or our students for, you know, over a year.
And this new way of working, it seems almost normal now, doesn't it?
It does. I think we've all got used to Zoom and Teams and the technology and sitting in meetings. I think I have found ways around that as well, in as much as I just am aware of how fatigued I can get, you know, sitting in meetings all day. So I do try and earmark a bit of time, especially sort of lunchtime, and then, you know, some meetings, if I can, I will actually have my headphones in if I don't need to be at a screen, and go for a walk if it's that sort of a meeting where it's just one other person, we can have a chat. So I think I'm trying to find ways around the sort of Zoom fatigue that I know that we're all feeling at the moment.
Yes, it's really shown me how resilient we are, though, and adaptable, that we can get used to these completely different ways of working.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is remarkable that in the last 12 months, everything has moved online. And I know our teachers are, and we're really grateful for this, still seeing our students face-to-face in practice, but there's still lots more balances that, you know, are in place. You know, we're sort of juggling the whole time, aren't we, with making sure that our students and our teachers are safe and our patients are safe. So it's been a juggling act, but I agree. I think I've been amazed at how much our teachers have just risen to this challenge, and the QMEC team and our students.
What do you think's been the most challenging bit for you?
I think for me, it's the constant juggling with children. So the first lockdown, we had all five of us in the house, including like four-year-old twins, especially on a Wednesday, which is our busiest QMEC day, with just so many bodies in the house. This time round, it's been easier because the nurseries are still open, so the boys are there, and my eldest, who's 12, has got online schooling. But I'm still aware of how many people there are in the house on a Wednesday, and I think that's personally trying to juggle all, you know, my roles, and actually being in the practice has been so lovely to just actually have a bit of normalcy, you know, just normality. Going in, seeing people, seeing patients, admittedly not huge numbers, but actually that's been lovely. What about you? What's been your sort of biggest challenge?
I think mine has been lack of face-to-face contact with people. So, I mean, I'm still going into the practice, but doing a lot of telephone consultations, which I don't warm to. I don't love. I like seeing people face-to-face. And the students, I really miss them, seeing them face to face when we're teaching. So I think that's been my biggest challenge. And I've learned that you can do it on the phone, you know, with patients. And I've learned that you can have a lot of rapport on the phone, especially with people I've known for a long time. And I've also learned that you can create quite a lot of rapport with your students on Zoom or on Teams. But I still miss that. I think that's been my biggest challenge. My kids are older, they're teenagers. I like having them home for me.
Yeah.
That's been an enjoyable part of the pandemic.
I wonder whether it might be worth hearing from Anne Wiley. We invited some of the QMEC staff to share their views, who talk about, like you, missing the face-to-face contact, but also some of the benefits. So we'll hand over to Anne Wiley.
I was first of all considering the biggest challenge I had And actually, that was being away from people. I found it really difficult, that lovely interchange that you have with both students and colleagues in the department. So I've missed that a great deal, even though I've enjoyed some aspects of working at home. What surprised me most, I think, has been how quickly we have adapted and moved to a virtual learning environment, a virtual environment for meeting and problem solving and discussing various issues. It seems to have been much quicker and easier than most of us could have imagined at the beginning of the pandemic, a year ago almost. What have I enjoyed most? Well, I suppose not commuting is probably top of the list. Being in a nice, comfortable space while I've been working, and perhaps having my day, my agenda for each day, really up to me, apart from when there were meetings. So starting early, maybe even finishing early, or working late, or working at the weekends as and when I wanted to.
So one thing I think we've all learnt to be is quite creative in this, and creative with technology. That's not something that I naturally thought I was able to do, but I have definitely had to learn that and actually enjoyed learning that. I know I'm not the only one.
I'm Professor Anne Stevenson, Director of CUMEC. In some ways, it's been fun sitting at my office window, creating, moving around the house with my dog and cat in tow, working in different rooms, going for midday walks, being more flexible with how I use my time, and not having to travel for 2 hours a day. What have I enjoyed the most? I think setting up my office with online equipment, my green screen, my external microphone, my phone, my iPad and laptop connectivity, my ring light, and clinic remote consulting and teaching has been in some ways new and interesting. Also being creative with online teaching and consulting and resources, using live teams, short presentations, and producing some teaching sessions for students. It's making something positive out of a challenge and taking the opportunity to learn new skills.
So I was really struck by how resourceful the whole team have been. But Stage 2, Lisa Kirchuk from the Stage 2 team had some comments about what surprised her and how she really enjoyed and how the team have enjoyed challenging this status quo. So let's hand over to Lisa.
In terms of what has surprised me the most, it's been a really lovely surprise, actually. And it's how engaged, mature and professional our students have been throughout the course of the year so far. So attendance at our remote campus days has been better than expected. And certainly, I think, has been better than face-to-face attendance that we've had in recent years for some of our sessions. Feedback from our facilitators, our mentors and our GP tutors has been that actually students are really engaged, they are trying really hard, they're motivated, they come well prepared, and possibly even more so than in previous years when we've been running the programme in its original format. And it's just made me wonder on why that might be, and I think that our students are really showing a great deal of appreciation for the challenges that are being faced. And they're really stepping up to really take as much advantage of any teaching opportunities that they are getting. And perhaps there's been a shift in self-image in the sense that the medical students are now classed as key workers and therefore very, very strongly recognised by the public as being part of the clinical workforce. So I wonder whether that has also affected our students' sense of belonging and empowerment within the programme. I really enjoyed the opportunity to challenge the status quo. I think it's very easy when you've been doing something a particular way for a long time, when there's a sort of a culture of this is the way it's done, which I think happens in almost every institution or team. You know, it's difficult to take a step back and really think about how you might do it differently and really challenge what you're doing, particularly when you're so busy and there are always so many things that need to be done. But the pandemic has really forced us to rethink the way we do things and change the way that we do things. And that's actually opened the door for a lot of innovation and made us really think, OK, does that need to be done face to face, or could that as easily be done using a different modality? So, for example, I think one of the biggest changes for us has been the use of asynchronous teaching material. So lots of pre-recording, so using PowerPoint or Zoom to do a pre-recording, and using that for material that perhaps doesn't require as much of an interactive element, and where students can access that themselves. They have autonomy to do that at a time that's convenient for them and allows them to be quite adult and learners. And then it really frees us up in our live sessions to try and focus on making it interactive and, you know, drawing the students into the conversation as best we can. I think the other benefit of using pre-recordings is it's really broadened scope and accessibility for using a broad range of different guest speakers. And that is, you know, because we're not limited by geography. You know, normally we would have invited these speakers to deliver something live. And it also means that we're not limited by their availability. And obviously a lot of our speakers are often very busy clinicians or professionals. So we've had a really, really broad array this year of different speakers.
So yes, I definitely agree with Lisa that it has given us lots of opportunities. The fact that a speaker can join you from their own clinical environment for an hour on Teams, wherever they are, has enabled us to have a big variety of speakers. And then, as Lisa said, we have really had to think about recording material before, and that's given us more creative opportunities. And I know the students have really valued that.
And I was also prompted by Lisa's comment about how much they've enjoyed challenging the status quo and how we need to think about how we adapt in the future, how much we can do online. But also Lisa mentioned other ways to meet virtually outside of scheduled teaching and maintaining those and developing those relationships.
I think it comes back to relationships and not underestimating the power of relationships, so whether these are professional or personal, and thinking about how you can use them to support both yourself and those around you. It's really difficult because we've had to adapt the way that we conduct our relationships with people. I think it's easy to lose contact, to lose routine, and perhaps to withdraw into yourselves at a time like this. But I think it's actually more imperative than ever that we seek out and strengthen those relationships. What I would really suggest is continuing to find other ways of meeting in a virtual manner. So whether that's using a WhatsApp group, emailing, or arranging to meet on Microsoft Teams, even outside of the scheduled and timetable sessions, I think it would really help the group to manage to look after each other and support each other's learning.
Wondered if you have done that with any of your students or thought about ways that you can sort of connect outside of Zoom meetings.
Well, I think with my current group of students, much the same as in our CUMEC meeting, we always have a check-in. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing various activities. We have coffee. I've even got them to do a bit of art therapy. You know, we're doing different things to build the social into the tutorial. My personal tutees, you know, we've been having lots of chats. I see them in their halls, you know, looking quite lonely. And it's nice to hear about their lives and what's going on within that. But I think we all have different ways of doing that, don't we?
I do think, although our students have, you know, risen to this challenge and dealt with the pandemic amazingly, they are quite isolated. And I think I am really sort of trying to make more of an effort to keep in touch with people. Like you say, I'm very aware when I am having a Teams meeting of the fact that, you know, they may well be sitting there on their own and they haven't seen very many people except for on a Zoom call. So I think I'm thinking a bit more about the pastoral support that we give and keeping in touch and having more conversations, just so that we can support our students. And, you know, just makes me think that, you know, we are there for, you know, all our tutors as well, so that, you know, if anyone is struggling, we are still here, we are still working, and, you know, we'd really like to hear from them, because there are challenges with technology and these new ways of learning, and we're all sort of in this together and learning together. And I think that's been one of the things that's really sort of brought us all together, is that we're all new to this and we're all kind of learning together, and we can all help each other out. I think also students can really help us out with technology. You know, I'm just aware that my 12-year-old got the hang of Microsoft Teams way quicker than I did, which was slightly frustrating. But, you know, our students are often really good at the technology we use. And so I think we can hand over and share some of that responsibility with them, you know, as long as we as the teachers are sort of scaffolding those sort of the activities and the learning opportunities. I think our students are really able to help support us and make it more kind of fun and interactive.
One thing I think we've all noticed is how grateful the students are for their teaching at the moment, because it has been limited. And Lisa describes this in stage two.
I've had lovely feedback from our tutors about how their students have really been a source of resilience during what has been an incredibly challenging time. And that's lovely to hear, because obviously we were concerned that perhaps the teaching was going to represent an additional burden on top of all of the other workloads that our clinicians are facing, but actually they've seemed to really enjoy it and see it as a source of strength and a highlight of the week. And similarly, the students are continue to be very invested in that relationship. So I think continuing to safeguard that within the programme, to continue to invest in it and to see that as something really important that can be cherished going forward, I think would be lovely to see.
As Lisa said, we've noticed the students really have moved from consumers to being really active participants in the teaching, and the attendance has really been up in Zoom teaching and Teams teaching, and that has made it really rewarding for our tutors.
And I think our students are also getting involved in so many other ways that we don't always hear about. We try and share it with our tutors, but, you know, they're volunteering, you know, whether it's a COVID vaccination hubs like the last podcast you did with one of our IBSC students. But, you know, our students are really sort of, you know, getting involved in and being flexible in lots and lots of different ways.
And even when they're in the practices with us, I've been amazed actually at how they've embraced telephone consulting and video consulting. And I've been amazed about how much they learn from these sort of modalities, especially telephone consulting. I think that lends itself actually very well to learning in general practice, because the students I've had with me, they will ring a patient, get some details, say, I'll ring you back, ring them back, get some more details, say, I'll ring you back with a plan. They ring them back with a plan. So there's lots of opportunities to come back and forth with a bit of coaching from the GP. So I've actually been amazed at how well that works in practices.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I was just going back right to the beginning. You know, I know you said you have kind of, you know, struggled a bit more with not seeing patients face to face, and that you know, have got used to sort of telephone consulting. Whereas actually pre-pandemic, we did telephone triage at our practice anyway, including a bit of telephone consulting. And so that didn't actually feel that new to me. And I've always thought we can do more of this. And I think the pandemic has proved it, because I feel like I can connect to people. And like you say, it helps if you know them. But you know, via telephone consulting. And I think it is a really lovely way for students to learn this new skill. And I think we've always thought that it would be a skill that we would teach our students at some point. But I think it's now become obvious to us that this is going to be actually a core skill for every, you know, doctor to actually be able to consult with their patients, not just face to face, but remotely as well. And it's a slightly different skill. You know, when do you bring a patient in? We'll bring them in, change their management. And, you know, I think students have really enjoyed kind of thinking in a slightly different way, in the same way that our colleagues have.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's one thing we'll keep afterwards. Is there anything else you think we'll keep, Rini?
I wonder whether we'll ever do a fully sort of face-to-face conference again. I wonder whether we'll always have an element of it being online and, you know, hopefully in person as well. But, I mean, I've really enjoyed not having to travel. I have missed seeing, not being able to read the room quite as well, especially when you've got a large number of people in the room and you can't see everybody. But I think we will absolutely keep an element of that, I think we'll just question ourselves. Does this need to be face-to-face? Do we need to sort of get people to travel in? Or can we deliver this online? Because, there are lots of things that are more convenient, but it would just be so nice when we can actually also all sit in a room, with our students, with our actors, doing sort of, simulations. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that day too.
I do wonder if the big face-to-face lecture has had its day, if that may not come back, and students will be able to access pre-recorded material and then it be supplemented with small group face-to-face teaching. I kind of hope that happens, but we'll have to see.
I agree. I've had mixed results with sort of trying to use a flipped classroom. I've not always had students looking at the material beforehand, but I think sometimes it can work really well if the students have looked at the material beforehand, and then actually you can spend the session having a more nuanced discussion and making it relevant and interesting. So yes, I think days of lectures or face-to-face lectures for hours on end are probably limited, aren't they? They're sort of, I don't think we'll be going back to that.
And I hope we come back a bit kinder towards our students. I think we have been very aware of their mental health in the last, year. And I hope that focus continues, because I think it has been very difficult for them.
Yeah. And also to each other, I think. I think it's been hard for everybody in different ways. And so, I hope that kindness we remember to extend to ourselves and to our peers, and so that, we are all working in kind of supportive environments. And, from what we hear from our students and teachers, that's even despite the strains, that is certainly happening. Mm. So, I want to thank all our teachers for that.
I think the students have found actually a more united general practice when they've gone out to practices very often, and said that there's been real teamwork, that they've been made to feel very welcome and useful and part of the team, which I think is amazing and something very much that I hope we keep.
Yeah, the other thing it's just prompted me to think about keeping is, I think we've had better communication. And, in our practice, but also kind of with daily huddles, I really hope we keep that element of it. It's just so nice coming together for, a socially distanced meeting and, quick coffee and just really getting together and saying, how are you all, before we start. So I hope that's something we will keep going forward as well.
And I know that the students have especially enjoyed their general practice placements when they've been possible over the last year. The hospital has been more of a scary environment for them and they've been more limited. So as Rini said, we really want to say a massive thank you to all the tutors, because you have really kept the students going this year.